It's going to be a wild ride. So buckle yourselves in.
Hello and welcome to Stramash, the Scottish NFL podcast. We're still getting ready for the 2024 NFL draft. And we do have a few traditions here on the Stramash podcast. One of those is sitting down with a former quarterback who played in Scotland to talk about quarterbacks in the draft. I think I'd do the exact same intro with him in just a minute. So less of me, let's cut over to that as we sit down once again with Scottish Claymore legend, Jim Ballard. So we like to stick to our traditions here at the Stramash podcast. And one that we have done for a couple of years now is, ahead of the draft, we speak to a man who played quarterback in the NFL and here in Scotland for the great Scottish Claymores, of course, won the World Bowl back then in 96. Good Lord, it gets further away every time we speak, Jim. But Jim Ballard here once again, and we're going to look at the quarterbacks on the board in the 2024 NFL draft. First of all, how are you, sir?
Can't complain. Full swing, running my quarterback academy, working a lot of kids out, trying to get them ready for, you know, in Ohio, there's a lot of high school camps coming up for different colleges. So I'm going to get them going. Had my birthday yesterday, turned the big five deuce. So I had a chance to spend time with the kids and go to dinner, and been good, man. Can't complain.
Well, belated happy birthday. And great that you get to spend it with the family. Absolutely the right people for it. So yeah, let's get stuck into this, though, because this is a kind of a hot year for quarterbacks. There's a lot of talk about some of the names up the top of the board. There's been some movement as well, I think. So what I thought we'd do here is maybe go through this one at a time. Let's take the names. Let's look at them, what they are, what they aren't, how much you think they're NFL ready. And then we'll maybe start to figure out who might land where. Then I'm going to ask you for maybe one of the names that's a little bit deeper down the list that you think is someone worth watching. Obviously, this becomes much more of a focus because of the whole Brock Purdy situation. Mr. Relevant, obviously, it works because of where he lands. But, you know, it just shows you that quarterbacks for the down. Of course, we had Brady who proved this many, many years ago before. And Purdy's not Tom Brady. But what it does show is that players even further down can come in and contribute pretty early in their NFL career. So let's start at the very top, though. Obviously, the consensus seems to be that Caleb Williams is the top quarterback coming out. Obviously, at USC, a player that's had a lot talked about him. What's your take on Caleb Williams? How NFL ready do you think he is?
I think he's one of those guys that, you know, you watch him play. He makes a lot of unbelievable throws. He throws a lot off platform. I think if the Bears, and this is just my personal opinion, I think that if he goes to the Bears, which it seems like he's going to, I think he's a miss. I really do. I think he's going to be a bust. I don't think he's going to do what everybody thinks he's going to do. You know, you had Justin Fields, who was there for the last couple of years. They just weren't a very good team. Justin put up some good numbers, just wasn't able to really get it going. But you got Caleb Williams. He's a West Coast kid. Obviously, he played at USC, played for Lincoln Riley, and a really good offense. Some of the knocks on him have been the fact that he has a tendency to put the ball on the ground a lot. He fumbles. My thing is, he just seems to me like, and I don't know him personally, I don't know his work ethic, but just some of the things I saw, you know, there was one time where he was kind of laying in the crowd with his mom, and it was just a bad look. You know, and then his handlers come out and say, you know, quite a few months back, if Caleb Williams was drafted, he needs to have a part ownership of the team. It's like, bro, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes. This isn't a kid who's coming out like Peyton Manning, who, I mean, could transcend football. He's more of a system guy. You know, he's played in the West Coast. He's played in the Pac, which the defenses are, you know, traditionally not as good. How's he going to adapt? You know, he's, again, a West Coast kid who played in USC, played out on you know, in California. Man, I've been in Lambeau Field. on Lambeau Field in December. I've been in on Soldier Field, and that's where he's going to play. There's no dome. You have to deal with elements. You have to deal with cold. How's he going to react to that? You know, you haven't seen a body of work from him, and it makes a difference. You see some of these guys that play in the West Coast and then all of a sudden come up to, you know, Ohio or Pennsylvania or Chicago or Detroit. You know, Detroit's different because of the dome, but, you know, guys that play on the outside, I want to see how he reacts when the wind's whipping around. I don't know if – is he a guy who loves the game of football, or is he a guy that loves what the game can do for him? You know, there's a big difference with guys like that. You know, when Peyton Manning comes out, that guy loves football. It's ingrained in him. You know, his dad played in the NFL, his younger brother, his older brother. I mean, they all played the game, and they love the game. I'm just not sure if he's one of those guys that loves the game. You know, and Chicago's still not – you know, they're not a great team. So now you put another rookie quarterback in, you know, he's got to gel with the teammates. He's got to gel in the locker room. You know, is he going to be one of those guys that, you know, can lead his team, or, you know, is he just, you know, I'm real curious, but I really think he's a miss in Chicago.
If he's a miss in Chicago, which I can understand, given, I mean, we've never had a quarterback throw 30 touchdowns in a single season. This is the much maligned position in Chicago. If for some reason the Bears do the unexpected, or if someone decides that they really want him and they figure out a way to trade up and go grab him, where is there a team that you think would be a really good fit for him to be a success right away?
It's hard to say. You know, if somebody would have told me, hey, CJ Stroud is going to do exactly what he did last year, I would have said there's no way, because number one, you talk about the receivers he has. And I mean, can you name their number one receiver?
And the Texans.
Yeah.
Probably. You got to think. It's Nico Collins or someone there. Yeah. But it's not a known, it's not a household name, is it?
Noah Brown from Ohio State, or a receiver that you really don't even, I mean, he's, my point is, you don't have like a Marvin Harrison. You don't have like, you know, the guys in the league that are traditionally, you know, Justin Jefferson, they don't have that guy. And all he did was go in and win. And not only did he win, but the way that he won, his poise down the stretch, last 2 minute comebacks. I mean, he was so poised, and the numbers that he put up, I mean, it was impressive. But I don't know. I just don't know on him. I mean, you know, New England's got the third pick. I don't see him fitting there. Washington might be a decent fit. You know, they started a young kid last year from Carolina. You know, with the fourth pick, you got Arizona. They don't need a quarterback. They got Kyler Murray. You know, you got Minnesota at five after, you know, letting Kirk Cousins get away. It's going to be an interesting draft. I mean, this is one of those drafts where it's really QB heavy, and it's been a minute where, you know, you've had so many quarterbacks that are projected to go in the first round, each with a, you know, a kind of a different skill set. The kid that I like, I was real impressed with how he played and the way he threw the ball, was I like the Penix kid from Washington. I watched him play when he was at Indiana. I think he is, I like him. And I think if he, you know, if he ends up going to a team like Minnesota or something like that, I think he could be successful. But I don't know where Caleb fits. Obviously, there's a lot of teams that really like him. He's high on everybody's board. But to me, I just think he's a miss.
It's interesting. And we, you know, we do see number one taking quarterbacks doesn't always work out. You do touch on the fact that Chicago for so long haven't had a quarterback. They've not been able to make anything work there. And, you know, for them to move on from Justin Fields so quickly, it says a lot about even that franchise. And, you know, we've talked about it on the pod. Charles, obviously a Packers fan, so he sticks the knife in whenever he can. But, you know, consistent mismanagement of draft picks. You can't just keep resetting all the law. I mean, you can, but you're not going to get anywhere very far, are you? So this, if Williams is going to be their guy, this is their number one pick that they've got because of the trade with the Panthers. They have to maximize it, right? They have to make absolutely sure he's the guy that can come in and do it. It will be an interesting story. It's a tough division. Like you say, the elements, Soldier Field in the rain, we've seen it. You know, he needs to lean on those legs, which we know he can do. But as you said, I think, what is it, 20 fumbles in 3 years? That's not what you want from your quarterback, and definitely part of his game that he's going to have to improve upon.
And it makes it that much tougher when it's cold. I mean, yeah. it just does. It's tougher to navigate. You got the wind whipping, you know, and as you said, I mean, that division is tough. I mean, Detroit, huge on the upswing. What their coach has done has been amazing. I watched that guy coach, and I want to put a helmet on. I'd run through the wall for him. they're playing well. Of course, you got Green Bay with Jordan Love, who's really starting to figure it out. They're one of the youngest teams in the NFL, and I mean they've got a lot of good receivers that are starting to figure out their game. They're starting to get more confident. So it's going to be interesting. And again, you have Chicago, and you know Justin Fields had a good year last year. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he was awful. I mean, he threw 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, threw for over 2,500 yards, did some really good big, really good things with his legs. So it's really going to be interesting how what Chicago does. I do think that they go with Caleb Williams, and you know, we'll have to see what his work ethic is. Does he win the locker room over? Is he a guy who's going to walk around, I'm the number one pick? And I mean, when you're 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, and you got grown ass men, you know, that are 30, 35, I mean, they're looking to see, you know, and everything that you do is going to be under the microscope. Is this a guy that I want to lead my team? And when you have the guys that come out and say that he should be part owner of a team, I mean, come on, man, the veterans are like, dude, just shut up. You haven't played it down yet. You haven't done anything. This isn't college with NIL money. You just don't get money. You're going to get the money, but you have to earn it. And if you want to stay in the NFL, and I mean, you have to play well, and you have to get it going early. And I mean, it's a win now league. I mean, there's not teams that are really giving guys, you know, 3-4 years to develop. I mean, if you look back, you know, back in the day, I mean, how long did it take for Terry Bradshaw to figure it out? He wouldn't have made it in today's game. And he's a guy that's a Hall of Famer and won 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's interesting, it's a win now. And it's so rare. You talked about Jordan Love there and the fact that he's coming into a game now. Lots of question marks. We ask questions. We cast aspersions. Even when he first started last season, he didn't look all that great. And there was that worry, you know, you've taken a guy in the first round a couple of years ago. You've sat him for so long. Is he a bust? And have you found out too late to do anything about it? Now it seems that Green Bay might well have landed on it again. That seems to be the formula they're sticking to. But that is the abnormal approach within the league. It is chuck them in at the deep end and get them to win right now, because that seems to be with the salary cap. The way to do it is if you can get a young quarterback on a cheap contract, that's how you can pay to put the pieces around them, and that's how you win Super Bowls, right? So
the thing that I like about what the NFL did, and I don't know when they started instituting it, but you know, you had, you know, 15, 20 years ago, where you had like guys like Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf and guys like that, you know, they were getting $35, $40 million before they did anything. You know, the contracts were so obnoxious, you know, for guys that hadn't, you know, done anything. I mean, it was kind of hurting the guys that had, you know, had like 4 or 5 years that were good. And what the NFL did was they basically instituted, you know, not a salary cap, but a cap on how much each player would make in the first couple rounds. So what that did was, you know, it opened it up for guys that really deserve to get paid. You know, if you take a guy in the first round, it's not as big of a deal if you miss on a guy now in the first round or second round, because, you know, you're not paying them so much guaranteed money. It's not going to cripple your team. The NFL is doing so well. I mean, I don't know if you saw the number, but the salary cap is up $30 million. From 1 year to the next. I mean, think about how much money each team must be making for the league to say, hey, you got $30 million more a year to spend on your players. I mean, that's a boatload of cash. So yeah. I know we're kind of going off topic, but it still comes back to the fact that it's not, if you miss on a first round pick, it's not going to devastate your franchise and set you back. Number one, bury you in a salary cap because you just gave a guy so much money. So, it's better for the league that way, and it's better for the teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Next name on the list that I'm going to jump to, and this is where it feels like a lot of people have Williams up top. After that, there's a little bit of variance about who goes after that, but it feels like Drake May's got a lot of people putting him as the second quarterback in this setup out of North Carolina. What sort of player do you think Drake May is?
I mean, he's a big kid. I mean, he's 6'4", 230 pounds. He played in a great offense in Carolina. You know, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, ended up throwing for 3,600 yards, averaged over 300 a game. He's pretty athletic. He's big. He's got a lot of starts under his belt. That's the thing that helps guys too. You know, when you're taking a quarterback, to me, I would be hesitant to start or to pick a guy that only started 1 year in college. Perfect example: Chicago Bears traded away how many picks for Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was a mess.
The Niners did the same thing for Trey Lance. You know, a very small sample set, and obviously that's completely backfired. So yeah, the warning signs are there.
A little bit different in that, you know, Trey got hurt.
Yeah,
really didn't get a chance. But at the end of the day, it makes me mad as a quarterback, and maybe it's because my game was a lot like Brock Purdy. I mean, I was a guy who was accurate, had a strong arm, anticipated well, but I wasn't a guy who was going to get 50 yards or run for 50 a game. You know, they call him a game manager and this and that. And I mean, the guy was the last pick of the draft. They had Jimmy Garoppolo play before him. They had Trey Lance. Garoppolo had ample opportunities to try to do the same things that he did, and he didn't. So it's just, you know, one of those things where he came in, he played well. I like the way that Drake plays. I think that I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. He's got a lot of starts, a lot of experience. He played in the ACC, which is against really good teams. And there's just no substitute for game experience. I think he does. I think he'd be a great fit in New England with the way that he is, or Washington. But it'll be interesting to see. You just don't know. You're just waiting to see which team throws the first curveball. Because as soon as the first curveball is thrown, I mean, it's a ripple effect and it's a domino effect where it's like, oh, man, this team took this guy. Then it completely changes the landscape of the draft, which is one of the reasons why it makes it so much fun to watch, because you just don't know, is somebody going to trade down? Is somebody going to make a pick that you just don't expect? And then everybody's kind of scratching their head and was, I thought that was going to be my pick, so now we're going to look to this. And so exciting times, but I think Drake May is a great pick. You got J.J. McCarthy, who's right there also, 6'3", 200-pound kid, played at Michigan, won a national championship. Put a beat down on our boys in Ohio the last couple of years, which was hurtful. But at least Michigan's won a couple games, so now it's more of a rivalry. Ohio State had pretty much owned Michigan for a long time. But I like Drake May. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, as I said. Washington has a number two pick. I don't think they trade. They make a trade to, you know, somebody else that wants a number two pick. I think they keep it, and I think they probably go with him.
The other name that's been sort of thrown in as a potential one going second overall is Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Another tall quarterback, 6'4", 210 pounds. You know, he's a player that's earning a lot of hype. Transferred from Arizona State. Obviously, he's got 5 years of time at college because he had that funny year in 2020 where he didn't really play much. But there seems to be a lot of hype about what he can achieve as well. Had a fantastic year last year. To throw 40 touchdowns and only have 4 interceptions is impressive.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, he's an unbelievable talent. He's probably the best dual threat quarterback, if you will, on the board. Ran for 1,134 yards. Minnesota is projected to take him on some draft boards at the fifth pick. I like the way he plays. I mean, he can make every throw. His game kind of reminds me a little bit of Bryce Young when he was at Alabama, dual threat, a bigger version of that. But he's a heck of a talent. He's got a big arm. He's athletic. I'll be curious to see if he does go to Minnesota, because they love to play action. Being under center for him is not one of those things that he did a lot of. So there's always that transition to just taking a snap, being under center. A lot of guys aren't comfortable with it. I think he's going to be one of those guys that is. He's going to be, I think he's going to have a good rookie year wherever he lands. I like his game.
Do you think that Washington maybe take him as that kind of dual threat? If we think, so often we see teams set up to match their rivals. And I think, with Jalen Hurts, and to an extent, Dak Prescott as well, fairly mobile. I mean, you could say Daniel Jones is mobile as well, but that is a very different type of mobile. Do you think that Washington maybe look to someone like Jaden Daniels to be more a fit like the rest of the teams in the division? Or do you think they try and look at Drake May as someone that is a little bit different and set up the game in a different way?
I think he is a guy that could be taken. Whether they do or not, it's hard to say. Last year, Washington had they were 4-13. They lost their last 8 games in a row. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. If they do go with Drake, Drake's more of a pocket guy. He is athletic, but just not as athletic as Daniels. As far as, other teams in the division, you got Dak Prescott, obviously, with Dallas. He's, more like Drake May than Daniels. But with Dallas's defense and their ability to get to the passer, they might look for a more athletic guy that can, hurt you with the legs. He's a home run hitter when he takes off. Drake May is not a home run hitter when he runs, but he is athletic enough to get you yards and move the sticks and things like that. It's just, everybody, the thing is with quarterbacks, everybody has their own perception and evaluation of what they look at. As I've been playing this position and coaching this position since I was 7, so I'm about 45 years in now. And when I look at a quarterback, the things that I like and the things that I think they're important, the guy next to me like, well, I don't care about that. I'm looking at this and this. So yeah. It's just it's one of those positions where everybody has their own take, their own feel, which makes it so much fun for the draft, because there are so many good quarterbacks and you're just waiting to see how it plays out and who takes who. Because again, one pick with a curveball, it throws a whole draft off.
Yeah. And we could see a run on quarterbacks, right? So there's 2 more names we'll cover just now, and then I'll ask you for maybe someone further down the list. But you touched on them there, J.J. McCarthy coming out of Michigan. Obviously, Michigan been very successful the last couple of years. The sort of quarterback he is, though, perhaps more underwhelming than the others when it comes to the flashy plays, but very capable and has been pretty consistent, right?
Yeah, to me, he's that guy that you would call a game manager. I mean, I don't – in the NFL game, it's more pass first, right? So the pass anymore really sets up the run. Very few teams just pound the rock. Michigan was a team these last couple of years that had good running backs and would just pound the ball down your throat with a big offensive line. They played great defense. They got turnovers. They got extra possessions for the quarterback. I mean, he's not a guy he was throwing 40 or 50 times a game having to win games for them. He was a guy that would have to make, 4 or 5 plays when they were there. And when you can run the ball, they stack the box, you walk a safety down, and now you got one-on-ones outside with your receivers. You can play action. You can get over the top. It's easier. When you can run the ball, you can do a lot of things, makes the quarterback's job a lot easier. So I think he's more of a game manager. I don't see him being like Brock Purdy when he comes in. I don't think his accuracy is as good. He's a guy that, throws off his back foot quite a bit. He's more of a rotational thrower than a back leg through guy, which makes it tougher to be consistent and be as accurate, because your arm slots all over the place. He has the ability to make those kinds of throws, but it should be situational. So I like McCarthy. I think he's a good leader. I think, they got him projected to go to New England, but New England just had the kid from Alabama, who I thought was good.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
And, yeah. Some of the guys that I know through, Josh McDaniels is a Canton kid. I live in Canton. His dad is a legendary high school football coach that I talked to. He also trains quarterbacks. You know, I was talking to, you know, his dad, and what Coach Tom McDaniels told me was, when Mac Jones came in the building, when he was a rookie, I mean, think about this statement. He was the most NFL-ready quarterback that they ever had walk through the doors, and that includes TB12. He was impressive with his ability to understand offenses. I thought he was a good player, but is McCarthy going to be able to come in and do, you know, even what Mac Jones did? It's hard to say. You know, they got a new regime, new coaching staff. Bill Belichick is not on an NFL sideline, which hasn't happened since, shit, what the mid-'80s when I was 12?
Yeah.
or before. So it's going to be an interesting year in New England. You know, what we've seen for so long, the Patriot way, this and that, you know, is no longer there. A lot of those coaches are gone. So I think they're looking to find a guy to become the new face of what they're trying to do. Coach Mayo, I believe, is in. Well, he's a defensive guy. So, you know, will they look to really be defensive heavy and have a quarterback that, you know, that does manage the game, that doesn't turn the ball over, and just looks to do the right thing and keep teams in keep their team in the game to have a possibility to win.
And do you think JJ McCarthy's style then actually fits to that? Because if you're defense focused, if your quarterback's taking a little longer to march down the field, but you know he's not going to be turning over the ball as silly mistakes as often as others, your defense is getting time to rest, meaning that when the time comes that they need to step up again, hopefully your quarterback with the game management has actually allowed your guys on the sideline to catch a breather and come in hot.
The thing is, though, if you have a quarterback that is a game manager, you still have to have a quarterback that's going to make plays to be able to keep the defense on the sideline.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, yeah, you can make enough plays. But, you know, as a rookie, to come in and be able to control a game, the thing I like about McCarthy is, you know, you talk about his, you know, the number of starts the last couple of years, you know, the level that he did play at, the fact that he did win a national championship. I mean, the dude wins. He's the winner. So, I mean, that obviously when you're looking at guys on the draft board, to me, he seems like a guy that loves the game. I like his swag. I like the fact that he, you know, he signed the camera after he won. I thought that was cool, even though probably pissed a lot of people off. I mean, the guy earned it. You know, and if you want to sign the camera after you did what he did, you should. You won a national championship. Michigan hasn't done that in a long time. They haven't beaten Ohio State back-to-back years, and, you know, I don't know how long. He's got swag. He's got charisma. You hear and see. I mean, guys like him. You know, he's a guy that's like, dude, that's my guy. If we're going to war, we're getting in a foxhole. I mean, McCarthy's one of those guys. And imagine that, McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
General, you know, he's a guy that you want in your foxhole. I think he's likable. He's a good looking kid. I think he'll be a great locker room guy. And I think he has a chance depending on where he lands. But to me, I think his game needs to elevate to be a guy that can win games when the quarterback is supposed to win games on the big stage. You know, can he do that consistently in the NFL? Because it's harder to run the ball consistently in the NFL than it is in college.
And then the name you talked about at the very top there, Michael Penix Jr., coming out of Washington. What sort, you know, probably a name that's not been as in the focus, certainly in the UK, where we get very limited college football coverage. What sort of player is Michael Penix Jr. for someone that maybe doesn't know much about him?
He's number one. He's experienced. He's played a lot of football. You know, he started in Indiana. I saw him play, you know, in the Big Ten. You know, it's not called that anymore. It's crazy what's going on in college football as far as that goes. Mm. But he's a big kid. You know, he can run from under center. He's got a big arm. At times he gets himself in trouble because he tries to throw the ball too much with his arm and not with his feet. But he's got a ton of game experience. I mean, that's the thing I like. I mean, he started, I believe, over 42, 43 games between Indiana and Washington with the COVID year. You know, these guys got an extra year. So when you have an opportunity to just simply play more and see more and make throws, and I mean, he was a guy that pretty much saw anything that you could diagram against him because of his ability. And then when he went to Washington, it really jumped off the page because they were so good. They were so deep at the wide receiver position. They had a ton of skilled guys. And I mean, and you watched him, you know, I believe it was the semifinals. I mean, it was a clinic as far as every throw that you wanted to see. It was like, all right, let's put this kid through this workout. We're going to have him run, you know, play action from under center. We're going to have him, you know, throw the skinny post on three steps, 1, 2, 3, bang. You know, we're going to watch the 15 to 12 comeback. We're going to watch the, you know, again, off the play action, you know, in the backfield with an RPO, with a squaring, and then we're going to have him throw a go route. And then, I mean, he made every single throw. There's no throw that he can't make. He's a great leader. You could see how guys gravitated him on the sidelines. So I really like Penix, and I think he has a chance to be really, really good and one of the best quarterbacks in this draft.
Great. Excited to see how he does. Beyond that, then, there's obviously other names. Bo Nix is in the conversation. There's Spencer Rattler at South Carolina, Michael Pratt, and then we're getting a bit deeper now, Joe Milton at Tennessee, Sam Hartman, Notre Dame. Any of those guys you think are going to come in and have an immediate impact? Any of them that you think is a top talent that's worth taking in the early rounds?
Bo Nix is intriguing. The thing that I like about Bo is a couple things. Number one, Pops was a quarterback about the same time I was in college. He's grown up around the game. I'm sure, you know, Dad has poured an enormous amount of quarterback wisdom into his son. You know, he's another guy who's played a lot of football.
Yeah.
Started at Auburn, got hurt, you know, tried to follow in Dad's footsteps. You know, ended up going, you know, leaving, went to Oregon in a wide open offense. He's a guy that is a dual threat. He can make a lot of throws off platform, can hurt you with his legs. I love his grit. You know, he's one of those, he's a tough guy. If you watch him play, regardless of who he plays, he always has a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, he plays that way. He plays hard. He plays tough. He's smart. Experienced, I think, in the right system, he could be a good quarterback. Is he, you know, a 5 or 6 year starter in the NFL? I don't think so. I think he's a backup, but he's a good player, and he's going to, you know, end up on a roster somewhere, and he's going to have a chance to start. And depending on what the situation is, you know, with, you know, who's back and what team he ends up on, I mean, yeah, he's going to have a chance to start depending on what they have coming back. If they have an experienced quarterback like a Kirk Cousins or whatever, a guy like that that's been in the league, that's been doing it, you know, he's a guy that could sit back and learn and be able to come in and make a lot of plays. I think his upside's big, but I think he's a backup, but I think he's definitely, you know, he's going to be a guy that plays probably 6 to 8 years in the league.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Always great to sit down and talk about it, Jim. Is there any other players in the draft that you're really excited to see where they land?
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. Everyone's talking about, right? Do you think he's going to be the best wide receiver that's coming out? Do you think he is the guy?
You know, you got the neighbor's kid. You got Odunze from Washington. Neighbors, you know, they have going 6th to the Giants, 6'2", 200. But, dude, if you got Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'4", 205. Who's his dad? Oh, that's right. He's right up the road about 15 minutes from my house down in Canton with a bust. You know, when you have that kind of pedigree, and then I've watched a lot of Marvin Harrison, obviously, because he's an Ohio State guy. So I watched him, you know, with the different quarterbacks that he's had. He is a freak. He can route. He can jump. He can catch. His knowledge of the game, his IQ is off the chart. I mean, to me, he is the best receiver in the draft. I saw his sample size, and it was a lot. And week in and week out, you know, you were lining up against Ohio State. You knew you had to double-team Harrison. He knew he was going to get double-teamed, and he still was able to put up the numbers that he did.
Brilliant. Oh, it's exciting. I love the draft. Like you said, it's so exciting because you do have the trades in play. You get the movement when the one team's on the clock and the big screen and suddenly the logo changes and you're like, oh, something's cooking. What's going on?
Curveball.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. And it's, you know, for us in the UK, the draft starts at midnight. pretty much. So it can run till 5 a.m. sometimes on Friday morning. So this is, you gotta then get up for work the next day. But you just
call off. The funny thing is with the draft, I mean, when I was growing up, and this was, you know, back in the 80s, and obviously everything is so much more commercialized now because of how much money the NFL makes and how many people watch. In the United States, of the 100 most watched shows or programs last year, the NFL had 93 of the top 100. So, I mean, people were watching nonstop. So anyways, but back in the day, the draft used to be during the week and it wasn't as big of a deal. I used to stay home from school for two things. Number one, March Madness, of course, which is awesome. Greatest thing in sports. And number two was the NFL draft. You know, now the NFL figured out, hey, you know what? We can just have the first round on one day. We can have, you know, two through four the second day, and then we'll come back for the third day. So three straight days, everybody's watching. Really smart, but it makes it that much more fun. You know, I love the fact that the NFL, you know, goes to different cities every year for the draft to give, you know, the fans a real experience. We were fortunate a few years ago, you know, they had the draft in Cleveland. There ended up being like a draft experience at Firestone. You know, people paid money to play golf for a couple days and, you know, play with some NFL alumni guys. And it's just an exciting time. I love what the NFL is doing. I love their vision. I love the fact that, you know, they're taking games overseas and, you know, we don't have NFL Europe anymore. And, but to me, I just hope that the UFL becomes the world league and NFL Europe, basically the G League, if you will, for the NFL. Because if you really think about how good the NFL is, they're the only major sports, you know, sport that does not have a minor league.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that. Yeah. And if you want to go back and if you look at all the players that came through NFL Europe, I mean, damn. I mean, when I was there alone, I backed up Brad Johnson, Super Bowl winner. Started against Kurt Warner and Jake Delhomme, who were on the same team in Amsterdam. One's in the Hall of Fame. The other guy went to the Super Bowl, you know, and on. I mean, Andy Kelly back in the day, Jim Miller, who ended up starting, Paul Justin. You know, these are just guys from like 95, 96. Kelly Holcomb, who we played against in 96, who won a playoff game for the Browns. You know, I just hope that the UFL ends up being that, and essentially it is. It's just not associated per se with the NFL, but a lot of guys are starting, and it's good to see, you know, guys playing right now that are going to have opportunities to play after the season.
And to the point that you mentioned earlier on, a lot of the quarterbacks that you talked about, the word experience was there. They've played a lot of games, and that's going to help you ultimately. Sitting as a non-starter for 4 years on an NFL roster isn't helping you play, right? And that's what NFL Europe was designed for. That was the opportunity to go and get game time and continue developing your game, being the real experience of someone chasing you down in competitive football. You can't replicate that through practice or training squads or anything like that. So
no, and the NFL, you know, has cut the amount of preseason games, so that's even less opportunities for guys. And like you said, it's 1,000 times harder to be a backup than it is a starter, because you don't get those reps and those experiences. And, you know, college is great. You know, you get a great college experience, you can play a lot, but it's still not the NFL. And that league in the middle, whatever that league is, whether it was, you know, NFL Europe or the World League or the UFL, that's still better than college. And that's still getting you professional reps and being under the lights and doing things differently than you did in college. So it's exciting time. I'm just glad that there's football on. So now, you know, you got the UFL. You know, the UFL is going to be over. Then you go right into Canadian Football League, which I love watching that because I played up there as well. Yeah. And then we roll into college, and then we got the pro, and then boom. So we're good till February with football every weekend moving forward.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for joining us again, Jim. We look forward to the draft. We always love catching up. And listen, we'll maybe speak to you on the other side of this and talk about some of these players again once we know what their landing spots are, as we start to drill into the 2024 season. Like you say, it's not that far away now. Football's coming back. It gets closer every day. So look forward to it and hopefully speak to you again very soon.
Sounds good. I appreciate the time as always. Love talking ball.
Always great to hear from Jim there. Interesting to get his take on some of the quarterbacks coming out of the draft. What do you think? Do you agree? A couple of questions now have come from Hollis Thomas and Jim Ballard about Caleb Williams. There's a lot projected that he's going to achieve. Of course, that means you're in the limelight. Something has to be found on a negative point of view. But what do you reckon? Is he going to be a bust or is he going to be a success? Time will tell. Does he go number one? Does he go somewhere else? Again, time will tell. Anyway, we'll be back again very soon. The next podcast is something a little bit different that we're trying. So keep your ears out for that one. But until next time, thanks for listening. Bye for now.